name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. And you know, every knee should do that here in time.
Amen.
Every knee should bow to Jesus in time. But I'm telling you, for those who refuse to, they will. They will, when they stand before God, they will confess the Lordship of Jesus, but it'll just be too late. Lost friend, it'll be too late to do you any good if you put it off while you have the time and opportunity. You can be saved tonight. You can come to know the Lord here tonight. You sure can. That'd be great. That'd be the best thing that ever happened to you. Love you, brother.
Love you.
Let's pray for him. Brother Wusu.
Good evening. I bring greetings to you from the Covenant Missionary Baptist Church in Atebubu, Ghana, West Africa. I would like to update you of what is going on just a little before I go on with my message. Last year, in the fall, our brothers always visit us in November. Last year, we had one saved. Brother Chrissy also came on the 15th of January, and he spent 60 days. We came together. He came on the 15th of March, and he was able to go to some places that we'd never gone before, to some of the Southern Baptist churches in the Far East, getting to the close borders of Burkina Faso. And seven also get saved among all the places. So from last year till now, we've got 38 saved. We have 5 churches now going on in Ghana, and we have 7 missions. New Covenant, where our pastor has 4 missions. Mount Zion has 2 missions, and Trinity has 1 mission. New Covenant, when we're going to buy a property, had a school that was established by a Muslim. There were 250 children coming. We took over the school in 1998. And by 2003, we were 650. But due to some circumstances, we lost the school by 2007. It was a hard blow because we were able to go to the school at any time to preach to those children, especially with the Muslims, whom we can't go to their houses or anywhere to preach unless the school. So God so good, somebody came to rent our premises, the school premises, which were empty, to start his own school in 2012. There were 2. One of them died, and one of them also couldn't pay the rent. So he left the school with the children. So we took over the school on a silver platter. So we started the school with 420 children 3 years ago. But unfortunately, the number is declining. Last Thursday, they vacated, and when I called the head teacher, they said 242 are in the number. Pray for us so that we'll be able to keep the school, because within the 5 years that we lost the school, it was a hard blow. It is just 2 blocks from my house, and I could go in at any time to preach. And whenever our brothers come, they go to preach, and last fall, when Brother Ron Spurgeon preached, there were 33 at the altar. Last year, a Muslim got saved, and a Jehovah Witness and an apostolic preacher's son got saved. So these children are one of the missions that we've got. So we pray for us. We've got some 2 missions that we started this year. Last year, we were able to bring all of them under one roof because it's very hard to go to the villages when their brothers come. Sometimes in the night, it's very hard because of armed robbery, and because the rules are not good, we bring them under one roof. And we are able to bring 2 out of the new missions. But out of the 2, we had 68 at the altar at a time. And 13 got saved. So we have a bunch of people, a whole mission that nobody is saved. So we cherish your prayers. And I take in some people to stay with me all the time over the years. And any person who comes to stay with me gets saved. Over the years, we've seen so many people. Right now, I have 16 in my house. I have 8 myself. But some of them are grown and gone and married and gone. I have 3 who are still with me. My little one started going to the altar last November. 12 are not, out of my 8 children, 4 are saved, 4 are not saved. We cherish your prayers that God will see all these people saved. We pray that God help us to be able to sustain the school because it has helped me keep me busy all the time. I go into the school anytime to be able to preach to them. We have a projection that because this year we didn't get any person for the nursery, that means the school is dying. So we have a projection that we're going to start feeding 60 nursery and kindergarten children of 25 cents a day. And we've got some support from some 2 churches, and we are praying that God help us to be able to use that one to be able to get more children coming, because that is what the government is doing, that is getting our children. The government has started free feeding, and so it's taking all our children. So we pray for us so that we'll be able to keep these children and be able to preach to them. And pray for the children in my house, pray for my children, and pray for the missions. Please, let's open our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Pray for me as I preach. I'm reading from the 33rd verse, chapter, verse number 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. I'm speaking on the topic of entitled The Warning Ignored or The Warning Neglected. In time of war, when soldiers are on the war front and they're fighting, we always see that they set up some watchmen or sentinels to watch during the night so that the enemy will not come and take them unawares. And so whenever they set their watchmen to watch and the soldiers are asleep and the watchmen are watching, but the enemy is too worried and so cunning and will be able to take them unawares and kill the soldiers, despite the fact that they had watchmen watching, we will pity them and we will say they did everything to be able to warn the soldiers that were coming because the watchmen were watching. And if they could not, if they were able to fight and they lost their lives, we will pity them. But if the watchmen warn them, and because of presumptuous sloth, and the soldiers keep sleeping, and they don't wake up to fight for themselves, when they die, you say them, it served them right, because they had every warning, but they did not fight for themselves. The same thing is like us, when we sit under an unfaithful ministry, that we don't hear the gospel warning, and or we don't sit under a ministry that tells us the truth. And if we die lost, though our being not listening to having a faithful ministry does not maybe redeem us before the bar of God, but it will reduce our woes. But if we sit under a faithful ministry like what we have in our missionary Baptist churches, that always we hear the gospel, we hear that Jesus Christ came to die for us, and you have to know him, you have to trust in him, seek him before you die, not like the other ministries that tell us to raise up our hands and other things. And if you neglect that warning and if you die lost, you say it serves you right, and your blood shall be upon your head. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. My father was a preacher. And in our church, if you are very good at the Sunday school, they take you through classes. They take you to the new convert class. And if you good at that place, if you are good, they ask you to come forward, raise up your hand, and accept Christ. That's what I did when I was at the age of 14. And I knew I was lost. But I raised up my hand and accepted Christ. They baptized me and they assured me that I was saved. But I knew there was something wrong with me. There was a vacuum in me. There was something that I could not pinpoint it. But I knew there was something wrong that I need to find it. My father was so strict, he would not allow me to go any place. But my father died at age of 46. He died very early. I tried to walk around, go to many places. I went to a charismatic church. I went to a Catholic church, to many places. And finally, I got a preacher who preached and access to sick. And finally, God saved my soul. Between the age of 14 to 24, 10 years, I was lucky that I did not lie, I did not die lost. And God finally saved my soul. So tonight, if you're here and you sit under a faithful ministry like what we have here, and if you don't listen to the trumpet sound, and if you die, the Bible says your blood shall be upon your own head. But if the preacher would do whatever is possible to preach the truth, because whatever the preachers preach is that we preach to convince you. We use everything, parables, any illustrations, everything to bring home whatever we want to preach. And the Holy Spirit convicts you, and God will convict you. God will save you. We cannot save you, but we do everything in our power to be able to convince you, to be able to bring you to a point that you have to raise up your hand into the air and say, Lord, I cannot do it on my own. And so tonight, according to the passage, he said he heard the sound of the gospel. So the warning was all that could be desired. In the olden days, whenever we hear the trumpet sound, it's either they're going to worship or they're going for war. And here, the trumpet sound is the gospel. The trumpet sound is being sounded everywhere, all over the world. But few of the trumpet sound, few of what we hear is the truth. And we are lucky that we have sat under the truth. I've been a Catholic, and what we believe was the bending of knees, the Ave Marias, the Paternosters, the crossings, the holy waters, and all that. In the Easter, we walk through the street, and we bend at every station of the cross. And if you're able to do all that, they say you're saved, because it's justification by works. I've been a charismatic, and they believe that if you have a charisma, if you're able to heal, if you're able to prophesy or do something like that, any kind of supernatural thing, they believe that you are saved. And the Pentecostal in my father's church, when you speak in tongues, they believe it is the language they speak in the heavens. So that means you are saved. But when I came to the Baptist, when I got saved, when I came here and over the places that I've seen that we are having the truth. And we have to know, the Bible, Paul say, I know whom I have believed. I know he's able to keep what he has given me against that day. Amen. So he said they heard the gospel. There are many people in Africa who had never heard the gospel. My grandfather was a fetish priest. He took me from my father when I was 6 to sit under him so that I can take his place after he died. He heard the gospel, but he died lost because he was a fetish priest, worshiping alligators in a lake. They are still in my house, in my mother's house. The people are worshiping alligators. So, if you are here, the Bible says they heard the sound of the trumpet, but they did not heed to it. So, there are many people. According to what I know, about 7.4 billion population in the world now. China alone has over 1.15 billion, but 7% of the people in China have heard the gospel. All of them are traditional worshippers and different kind of beliefs. So they heard the trumpet sound, but did not pay heed to it. But you have heard it. You are lucky that you have sat under a minister who preaches the truth. And so, if you hear it and put it off, we are going to stand before the bar of God, and you have no excuse. And again, they said they understood it. I think if I come to stand here and begin to preach in my language, nobody will understand. And I think people will start going out. I'll try, though English is not my language, but I'll try to speak in a way that you will understand. That's what every preacher does. When Jesus Christ, in his days, when he was preaching, he used parables. The peoples were farmers and animal railers, so you use different parables. He used, sometimes, he used the seed, he used the different kind of things to bring home of what he wanted to preach. So any preacher, no matter whatever he is, he's trying to preach in a way that we understand. Here he said they understood it. So tonight, I think you understand me, or you have been understanding all the preachings that have come in. If I begin to stand here and begin to preach in my language or begin to talk about philosophy or metaphysics, I don't think you understand, because that is not what I have to preach. So they understood it. So if you understand it, and if you don't pay heed to it, and if you don't seek for the salvation of your soul, a day you come that you stand before the bar of God, and there the minister, your father, your mother, anybody will not be there for you. Because according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, he said, we are going to stand before the great white throne, and the books will be opened. And there, another book, which is the book of life, if your name is not found in the book of life, to be cast into the lake of fire. And that we, in our language, we call it the devil's fire. Because God did not create that fire for us. But anybody who rejects the gospel, he will find his place with the devil. And it goes on to say that the trumpet sound was startling. There is nothing in the world that is more startling than the trumpet sound. When the gospel is preached, you hear it in your conscience. Sometimes you see people trembling. There was a time I preached at my place, and I saw some of the members, some of them were weeping. And some people started going out. But after they wept, the altar call was given, people just wiped away their tears, and they were still in their pews. We've seen many people, whenever the gospel sound is being preached or the trumpet being blown, you see that they are startled. You see that they are trembling. Some people shed tears, but they still be adamant. Tonight, if you're here and you're lost, there's nothing startling than the trumpet sound. That is the trumpet that will be sounded, and people who have died over the years, the resurrection day, they will come up. You can, like, that is the hope of the believer. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, it says, even in this, if in, and on this earth alone, that we have hope in Christ, then we are among all men most miserable. We believe in the resurrection day, those who have died over the years, whose body have been turned into dust, and the dust has been eroded into the death of the sea, everything is going to, we are going to see the most miraculous thing. That is our hope. That is the most startling thing that will ever happen. That is the gospel. The gospel is ever startling. Sometimes you hear it and you feel it in your soul. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. During those days, the Romans were using the sword. That was why it was say that it was sharper than any two-edged sword. If it is now, we will call it, it's sharper than any Petron bomb. It can enter into the soul. You can feel it, you can hear it, and you can feel that you are trembling. But there are many sins that the Bible says God can forgive. But there is one sin that I have read in the Bible that God does not forgive, the sin against the Holy Spirit. There are so many sins against the Holy Spirit, but one that I know is stifling your conviction. If you are startled, if you feel that you feel in your soul that the gospel sound is coming and the trumpet sound is being blown, you don't have to harden your heart. The Bible doesn't say tomorrow, because tomorrow is a delusion. Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow is on the almanac of the devil. In our place, when you go to a shop and they say, for credit, come tomorrow, that means there is no credit, because tomorrow never comes. There are many times that we postponed our conviction. That's the most startling sound that we ever hear. And he goes on to say, it has been very frequent. The gospel sound has been very frequent. Over the years, few people, some years ago, thousands of years ago, many people had the chance to hear the gospel. But now, because of the media, the gospel sound is being blown everywhere. And it comes very frequently, almost every week, every day, you hear it. Many people have got it to hear once. If somebody hears it once and he dies, that's not give excuse that he's going to be, God is going to liberate the person. But I think it will lessen his woes. But if you hear the gospel continuously, frequently, and if you find yourself in hell, I think the according to Luke chapter 19, the rich man who was in hell, he had memories. He said, he was talking to Abraham that he should let somebody go to the end. He has memories. So your memory will tell you how many times you have heard the gospel and you did not pay heed to it. So there is frequent, many frequent means that we have heard the gospel. And sometimes there are providences. God used many providences. Sometimes you can be on your sick bed, you'll be so sick, and you tell yourself that if I get up from this bed, I'll serve the Lord. But most of the time, if you get up, you forget it. Sometimes there will be natural disasters. Sometimes you'll be in a place that you'll be on your knees begging God. But after you get your freedom, you forget it. Sometimes you, in your conscience, according to the books that will be God used in the judgment, I call it the book of records. Apart from the book of life, the book of one of the book is book of conscience. If you read Romans chapter 2, verse 16, it talks about our thoughts and our conscience. God has them recorded. Sometimes you hear in your conscience that the gospel sound is being blown. Sometimes it comes in different ways. Sometimes providence. Sometimes you hear that you are cut in the heart. Sometimes you feel that your heart is troubling you because of what is coming. It is coming direct to you. Sometimes you preach. I had a lady in my congregation, and she was selling liquor. When he came to church, he was selling this alcohol, but that was a library. What he used for a living. So I encourage her all the time that she stops and find another way. She was in the church for about a year. And because of her, that does mean that I shouldn't preach about alcohol. So one day I preached about that, and she was not coming anymore. But she told people that whenever he comes to church, I preach about alcohol. But she was in the church for a year, and I have been preaching all the time about that. Not every day, but sometimes I preach about that. So that very day, I do not know why she should take that one as an excuse. But I think she was cut into the heart. And instead of listening, she went away. And now she's still selling. I don't know. Maybe she will repent one day. So sometimes the gospel sound comes and you are cut in the heart. It is not what you want that the gospel will preach. And some people give excuses why they don't want to hear the gospel sound. Another thing is that it comes in time. Now that you are still living. Now that it is not the 11th hour. Now that you are not on a sick bed or you're on your death bed. This is the time that you have to seek the Lord. I tell you that tomorrow is not in the almanac of God. When in Mark chapter 15, verse 32, the Bible says two thieves were railing, they were insulting Jesus when they were on the cross with Jesus. And according to Luke chapter 22, verse 39, it says, one of them says, Lord, remember me when you get into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today is the day. Today, when you hear the gospel, don't put it off. It comes in time. It comes when we are alive. It comes when you have the opportunity. Today is another day. Because if you hear gospels upon gospels, and if you put it off, Paul Bryson put it this way, and I've been using it all the time. And I've tried it, because I was in a ministry that we walk barefooted. I walked barefooted for 3 years. And after the 3 years, the sole of my feet became so hardened that if I step on the thorns, it breaks. So that's how the gospel says. If you hear it and the heart is very tender, if you are young, your heart is very tender. If you begin to give our testimonies, most of us were saved when we were very young. But when you hear gospels upon gospels, when you hear wagon loads of gospels and you continue to put it off, the heart becomes hardened. If you read Hosea chapter 12, verse 20, it says, "Break up the fallow ground, the land that fallowed for a long time. It has to be broken before they can put in seed." The land, when Jesus gave the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, he was talking about the heart, different hearts. So if the heart is very tender, and if you hear the gospel, and if you are cut into the heart, you need to seek the Lord there and then. You don't have to postpone it, because if you continue to postpone it, it becomes more hardened. It's a miracle when somebody gets saved when he's in his 60s or 50s. But most people, when they are saved, get saved when they are young. Because if you remove your shoes and start walking on the bare rocks, the sole of your feet becomes the rocks will prick the sole of your feet and it hurts. I've done it. But if you continue to walk barefooted for a long time, it becomes hardened. It continues to harden to the extent that if you step on stone, on thorns, it will break. So if you're young and you knew that you're lost, if the moment that you know that you're lost, you need to see the Lord there and then. I remember when Paul stood before Felix. Is it Felix or Festus? One of them. He stood before him and he said, "You nearly persuaded me." He procrastinated his conviction. And I never read anywhere in the Bible that whenever he heard from Paul, he ever got saved. Don't procrastinate your conviction. And there are many people who give excuses why they never listen to the gospel sound. One of the I'll go through some of the excuses. One says it's not necessary. If something concerning our soul, if that is not necessary, what would be necessary? Man is always concerned about this body, and we know this body, even if we live up to the age of Methuselah, this body is going to die. But if we are going to die and we don't have a soul, then there is no means that we and like animals will be the same. But we human beings are not like that. We have a soul that never dies. The soul lives forever. So many times we forget about the soul. Every man spiritually is a trader, and we have two shops. We are trading with time and eternity. We are trading with things pertaining to heaven and earth. But man, most people will jot down every trifle of expenses on the small shop. The small shop is the small shop that is controlled by the body. And it deals with perishable things like what we see around, cars, houses, food, clothes, everything. And those things don't have eternal value. But man will jot everything for expenses on that small shop and leave that big establishment. The other shop is a big establishment, and the person who mans that establishment is the soul. And he deals with things pertaining to heaven, things that have eternal value. But most of the time, man will leave that big establishment and he will just look at the small establishment and jot down every expenses. It would be unwise on any part of a business person or a merchant to neglect such a big establishment and pay heed to that small establishment and leave that big establishment to go bankrupt. If we go bankrupt in our businesses, our bankers may be able to help us. But if you go bankrupt with your soul, what will you do? Many people say it is not necessary. Anything that is concerned with the soul, I think it is necessary. And another person gives the excuse that I don't like the trumpet. I don't like the gospel. It is the gospel, and if you like it or not, that is what God has proclaimed. That God has tell us to do. Because any preacher doesn't preach what he wants. There was a time I was preaching, and I told the people that I'm saying doesn't mean that I am all right. I keep all that I'm saying. That is what the Holy Spirit has told me to preach. So I have my own shortcomings. So sometimes people will give excuse that the gospel is too, the trumpet sound is too harsh. It's too doctrinal. There are so many things that I don't like in the gospel, but it is the gospel, and it must be preached. We can't dilute it. As it comes, as the Holy Spirit gives us, that is what we have to say. There are so many places that sometimes if you preach the truth, people get angry. But if the Holy Spirit says it, you need to say the same, because that may help somebody, one person. And if one person gets saved, his soul can never be measured. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse 38, it says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain this whole world and loses his soul?" There is nothing that can be compared to the soul. What God gave his best for. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And what the devil is craving for, the devil will do everything. Everything. I call it the worldly trinity, fame, power, and wealth. Man is doing everything to attain these things. We are going to have elections in our country, and those, our leaders, they go to any extent, by any means, to win power, even if to kill. They don't care about the soul. Some people consult the oracle. You will not believe this because it will seem too superstitious, but in Africa, it is there. Some people consult oracles and they are told to bury people alive, to spill blood in order to win power, and they will do it. I read about Alexander the Great, who at the age of 32 conquered the known world by then. But when he was dying, he said, "A peasant in his cottage is better than me, than in my palace full of silver and gold. What shall it profit a man if he shall lose his soul, and if he gains the whole world?" And another person said, "I don't like the manner in which the trumpet is sounded. I don't like the manner in which the preacher preaches. The preacher is too theoretical. He's too doctrinal. He's too harsh in his preaching." And that is how the trumpet is. It must be blown as it should be blown. If you are in a house and the house is on fire, and if you hear somebody shouting outside, "This house is on fire," you don't listen to the tone of the person and say that his tone is too harsh, so I won't come out. What will you say of a man who will stay in his house, and if he listens to somebody from outside and he said the person is speaking so harshly, and the person doesn't come out, and if he's burned in his bed to ashes, what will you say of that person? You say it sets him right, and his blood shall be upon his own head. Some others say that, "I don't like the preacher himself. I don't like the man who blows the trumpet. I don't like his personality." What about if somebody is on the board of a ship and is falling down into the sea, and a sailor throws a rope to that person, and the person who is drowning looks up to the sailor and said, "I don't like the look at this person's face. I don't like even the rope. It is not manufactured in the best factory. This man is not trustworthy. I look at his face, and if that person does not hold on to the rope to rescue himself and he's drowned," you say, you will pity him, but you say it serves him right, because he had every chance to have holding onto the rope to rescue himself. But he was there making excuses that he doesn't like the look of the person's face. So if somebody says, "I don't like the preacher, I don't like how the preacher preaches, I don't like the preacher himself," and if the person begins to give excuses, "Okay, if you don't like one person, one preacher, there are so many preachers everywhere. God has given us so many preachers. And if you don't preach, if you don't hear the gospel sound," because I think no preacher will stand here to preach what he likes. If I were to preach what I like, I would not be preaching this one. But this is what God has given to me. And so many people give excuses, but I tell me it's so frivolous and so wicked. They give some profane excuses that can never be tolerated. God will not tolerate that at the bar of God. Another person said, the gospel sound must be blown to everybody else, but not me. Everybody else believes everybody is a mortal being, but not him. Everybody is going to die, but not him. Everybody, whenever I just visited a funeral home before I came, a friend of mine died just last Sunday. A preacher who came to Ghana and very close to me took his life. Last Sunday, when I was about to preach, that it was announced, I was devastated. But he had a testimony that he saved. The father committed suicide. Everybody knew that everybody is going to die. But whenever we see somebody dead, we think we have a long time. So many people think that the gospel might be blown to somebody else, but not them. But if you are here and you are lost, today is the day of salvation. If you continue to put it off, your heart becomes so hardened that you will hear the best gospels, but you will never be convinced. God's purpose to save has a limit. It will be a time that God will not deal with you. The only thing that a sinner needs is pardon. If somebody is in a condemned cell and the person's days are numbered, he's going to go into the gallows. And if you present a bag of gold to that person, I don't think the person will be pleased. Or if you present a title deed of a big estate to the person, I don't think he will be pleased with you. The only thing that he needs is pardon. If you are a sinner, you are not a sinner because of what you do. You are a sinner by nature. We, those who are saved, we are no better than anybody, but we are saved by the grace of God. So if you are here, that doesn't mean we are better than you. The only thing is that we know when we die, we are going. And so tonight, many people think we have time. There is the delusion of the law, the devil. He tells us that, oh, tomorrow is there. Nobody knows when he's going to die. I buried a son who was 10 years. I'm 59, but I buried a son who was 10 years. And somebody also say, I'm too busy. That is what is going on now. Too busy. Busyness. It is wicked and frivolous, and it is not true, because how busy are we that we cannot listen to the gospel, or we cannot just at a breakfast just take a test and just think about it the whole day, or just to talk to a friend? I heard two farmers talking, and one told the other that with the plowing and the sowing and the harvesting, I don't know why you get time to hunt. And the other one told him that if you like hunting like I am, you make time to hunt. You can make time. People are too busy. And if somebody is too busy with his soul, if somebody is in a room and the room is burning, and if he's too busy to save his soul, what will you say of that person? Another person says, you don't expect me to be saved when I'm young. I need to sow my wild oats. Since I'm young, I have to enjoy life. When I grow, I will get saved. But somebody is in hell. He was an apprentice. He wanted to become a master. But before he knew, he's in hell. Somebody was a journeyman. He wanted to be of his own master. Somebody said, I want to marry my children away. And when all my children are married away, I'll find salvation of my soul. But the person is already in hell. The Bible says, his blood shall be upon his own head. Certainly, not perhaps. Nobody preaches. No, there's no preacher who ever preached like Jesus. He preached. He was the most. I don't know what to use. He preached in a way, very, very, very humbly. But he uses hell. He talks about hell in a way that nobody ever talked about that. He preaches so humbly to many people, but when it comes to hell, he talks about it. He said a place without bottom. It's a pit without bottom. A place full of fire, but total darkness. A place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. A place where the harmony of the music that you hear is of demons. A place that is like a mountain without any summit. It's like a sea without a shore. It's eternal. If you make bankrupt of your soul tonight, it is eternal. An eternity, if I want to describe it, is like giving a cup of water to a small boy and tell him to bring all the waters of the oceans, the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Indian, all the oceans. If he's able to bring all the waters of the oceans, eternity has not started the day. So tonight, if you're here and you're lost, I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you. Seek the Lord. Tomorrow may be too late. God has found his faith to save my soul. And last time when I stood here, I preached about the God saving to the utmost. He saved to the utmost because he saved me. My parents, my grandfathers were worshiping alligators. But he found his soul to save me. The most, one of the things that God actually abhorred, to serve creatures instead of creator. The second commandment says, thou shalt have no graven image, any likeness of anything in the heavens, on the earth, or under earth. Thou shalt not bow to them or serve them. But my grandfathers were worshiping alligators in the lake. But God has sent his word to save me. So I'm bringing my message close, and I pray that you pray for me, pray for my children, pray for our children, pray for our school, especially those children that we can't reach. We can't preach them. We can't go to their houses to preach to them. It's coming down. And pray that God will sustain it so that we can get the children to preach to. Thank you so much.
We sure thank you, Brother Paul, for your message tonight. We've heard it preached just like that we all grew up with. And we've had good instruction for you that are lost here tonight. And let's stand and sing number 191, Just As I Am. Because if you're seeking the Lord tonight, you've got to put everything else away. And you've got to lean on Him just as you are, 100%. And He will save you. Let's follow the Lord tonight, 191.